with you I'm from Minneapolis's historic West Bank, you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're streaming and archived on KFAI.org. It's where community has always grown.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
They're going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, hit me, cut it,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on today, along with our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake, with Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports. Before we get talking with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, I just want to give a quick shout out to Wendy, who's almost in Wisconsin now and going to be doing the good work of getting those bagels out there with 2,000 other people. Power to you. And again, big Peenigee, thank you so much for all the people that donated and really helped support her and her endeavors out there freeing the beagles. And again, a big peony geeky. And if you still want to donate some money, it's at Venmo, Wendy-Pilot. And so again, big peony geeky. Hey, State Senator, thanks for coming on as always and giving us updates. Sometimes great updates, sometimes not so great. And we have some things happening federal here that are really going to affect us. Thank you again for being on.
Sure. Hamatafiape, everybody. Yeah, it's I just think it's so marvelous what Wendy is doing and going out there to rescue those dogs. I told you before I did dog foster care for about 5 years until I got too busy at the legislature and couldn't do it. And it's just such a sad situation. Mm-hmm. In very many ways. And thank you to all the people that foster these dogs and get them back on their feet. I mean, literally, sometimes you are getting them back on their feet. I had a couple of really goofy dogs that, you know, had been crated probably most of their life. Didn't know how. I had a dog that didn't know how to back up or would get stuck in reverse. Didn't know how to like go around a chair so it would crawl under the chair, you know, under, and you know, these are beautiful creatures and every one of them turned out to be absolutely lovely, lovely, animals and went to really good homes. And so, thank you to Wendy and all the people that donated and then those that are helping Wendy rescue those dogs.
Yeah, definitely. And you, everyone's heard our story over the years with our rescue dogs and our, you know, Gracie and, well, Wanda too, and Emma. Gracie never saw, never knew what leaves were and, you know, just things like that and going for a walk. And we were lucky to have her for 7 years and giving her the best life we can.
Yep, that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, we have like a darkness happening over the state of Minnesota again with our great boundary waters. And, you know, we have Stauber up there starting laws in 50 to 49 federally voted on this and ready for the Orange One's signature.
Yeah, that yesterday was a heartbreaking day. And thank you again to Senator Tina
Smith.
Thank you, Tina Smith, for being such a champion around all of this. You know, she held the floor for hours talking about it, and other people came in to support it. Of course, Amy Klobuchar did as well. But yeah, what we're talking about is that the Senate and the House now have lifted the restrictions on the Boundary Water Canoe Area Wilderness. You know, and that's 150 miles on the lake, in the Lake Superior National Forest, and it goes along the border with Canada. And this is an area, if people have never been up there, it is the most pristine, beautiful lake forest. I mean, the forest, you'll find pine and spruce and birch. And the waters are just gorgeous. And of course, thousands of people who are respectful go up there to paddle and portage off some of the most traveled, beautiful traveled waterways. And it's just unbelievably beautiful. And right now, you know, Biden made it a safety spot. So logging is prohibited. Planes over it can't dip any lower than 4,000 feet. There's tens of thousands of canoeists and kayakers and campers that explore it. And, you know, why would we want to put it into a vulnerable situation where we would have toxic mining? And, you know, it's just really, really sad that, that Twin Metals, which is a subsidiary of the Chile-based Antofagasta Minerals, they want to go in there and just basically harvest copper, nickel, and other metals in that area. And this is one of the most toxic kind of ways of mining. And so we are very much against it here in Minnesota. 70% of Minnesotans say they do not want this to happen. Right. And so, you know, as I said, it was a sad, sad day. We had, there were a couple press conferences, the Native American Caucus. So my three House members joined me and a number of other activists, environmentalists that are, you know, pushing back. And we do have, I want to just say that all is not lost, because we do have legislation out there that says prove it first. Before you can even begin to do anything, you have to prove that there is a mine that is similar to what you want to do here in the United States that was done, that there were no damages done, that it was done in an environmentally friendly way, a safe way, because we don't believe that it is safe at all. And then, so that's the prove it first bill. There's another bill where they would have to put a really, really hefty, kind of like a damage deposit down, so that they can't just up and leave the mess for us to take care of. So there are other things that can be done. We just haven't, you know, we have to continue to work on those things, and we're dedicated to it.
It's fun talking to you on Fridays, because you're on Gaga duty, and it's always fun to see how much they've grown, because you've been on the show for 10 years and they've been on the show their whole lives.
Yes, their whole lives. Their whole lives. And, you know, I was very prompted, because it is for my cause. It is, I wanted to mention, remind you that wolves are the first dogs.
Yes.
For real, last week. Yeah. They have their wisdom, their little wisdom. And you girls are what? What are you? Oh, she's being shy. These girls are water protectors, and they recognize themselves as that. There's that beautiful book, Water Protectors.
Yes.
It's their favorite book. They sit and they read it out loud to each other all the time. And I'm just really proud that these girls know what our priorities are. But so back to the boundary waters, really serious concerns in this day and age when there's so much at stake. We can't let it go.
Yeah, let's stay on top of it. And the great thing about having you on is that you are on top of it and giving our listeners and viewers updates. So, hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish and her granddaughter, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today,
to the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way,
to those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we are with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, and talking about what's going on statewide. And also, we'd love to hear what's going on capital-wise. Thank you so much, as always, for coming on.
You bet. So we are almost, like, Monday starts our last 4 weeks of session. So within the month, in a month, we will be done with this session. And it has been, you know, every session is just, I don't know, so unique and so different. It's never like you just go in, you do the good work, we all agree, and then we all vote together and we head home until the next time we get together. But because this has been a session where the House is still in a tie, there's been a lot of difficulty to get consensus on a lot of the bills. In the Senate, we've been working really hard to build that consensus because we have only a one-person majority. And therefore, we have to, you know, if there's one person on our team that can't or doesn't feel comfortable voting for a bill, we have to make sure that everybody's in agreement. And so we've worked really hard on that. Friday, this past Friday, today is Friday, but yesterday I voted my education finance bill out of the our committee. And it's a very modest bill that just really has what we consider, what we call compensatory aid. And that those dollars are the dollars that are allocated to schools per pupil for some of the special needs that our kids need. So, for example, if they are EL or if they have a disability, if they need help with in other learning ways, we allocate additional dollars. And that has kind of gotten, out of control. And I want to say it not in a bad, you know, it's not a bad thing. I think we're just able to identify some of the issues, the learning issues earlier these days, because we put money into early screening. And so we're addressing those issues earlier than later. And so, you know, with the hope that by doing that, we will be able to address those issues so that in the future, when they get older, we don't have to continue. They get over whatever the issue is. So that was a big one. And then safety aid for our schools, you know, with the killings at Ascension, the two little students that were killed, you know, schools are asking for more safety dollars to address the needs. And kind of incorporated in all of that are some of the mental health issues. So the need for counselors, social workers, things like that. And then we know that with the ICE surge, we really had some major setbacks from mental health issues in communities. And so we are hoping to get more money into the schools to do that. We passed that my bill out of our committee with anonymous votes, which is really good, but it's a very modest bill. It's a non-budget year, so this is a supplemental budget. And then we're still working on that constitutional amendment to be able to access those dollars from the school trust lands, the school trust fund, and bring those dollars into our schools. And we have to do that through a constitutional amendment. And we'll talk more about that because there's going to be a lot, need to do a lot of education around that if it gets on the ballot in November.
Well, anybody watching us online, I'm just like mesmerized with your granddaughter. She really loves you. She's just hunkering down with you there and listening to you intently. And we should maybe change the name of this segment to Lieutenant or State Senator with her grandchildren because it's just precious.
You know, and I say this a lot. I'm like, the work that we're doing now is these kids' future, you know, and I want to make sure that we're able to leave them, you know, when I leave this world, I want to leave it in a better way. And that means that we're taking care of environmental issues like the boundary waters. We're investing in education in a you know, futuristic sort of way, and providing the resources that we all need to survive and thrive here in Minnesota. So I always, you know, sometimes I don't agree with, you know, GOP members when they bring forward issues that I don't agree with or I don't think are the best way. And sometimes they say things that really rub me the wrong way. Yeah. And it makes me kind of, you know, you can imagine sometimes like when they do come to me with a good bill and I want to just say, you've been, you know, kind of a jerk. Why would I carry your bill? And then I have to bring it right down to the fact that this is for the kids. It's not for me. It's not for the, you know, that member, but it's for the kids. And sometimes you have to rise above the ugliness and see what's at stake here. And these are the kiddos that are most at stake. So we'll do the work.
Little water protector. I love it. So not to get too far ahead, but what is this next week, 4 weeks look like? And I know you being a part-time employee with a full-time job, you jump in and check out education and the farms and all that when you're not in session. So this is just the beginning.
So the next 4 weeks, we will continue to work with the House to put together bills that we can all agree on and get those passed off of the House, off of our Senate floor and the House floor. So we'll be spending a lot of time on the floor of our prospective caucuses. And I sent you, Robert, a link in the chat. If you want to watch what's going on in the Senate, There's a link that will take you to the Senate schedule. And then if you are interested in tracking certain omnibus bills, there's a link for that too. And omnibus bills are just like one big bill that has a lot of little bills in it. And this year is the first year, I think, in all 10 years that I've been at the legislature where we have been hearing single subject bills or single bills on the floor of the Senate and passing them off the Senate floor than we ever have. Usually it was like, we'll save them all for the omnibus bill and then we'll just pass it all together. But because of the uncertainty, especially coming from the House, we have been passing bills that we can all agree on off of the House floor. Then they have to go over to the House and they have to pick them up on their floor, on the House floor, and pass it. And I think we are kind of back to the way it used to be, where we did a lot of single subject bills rather than these big ones at the end. So it's as I said, it's another interesting year in the Minnesota legislature.
Yeah, and people that are watching us, I put the link up there again. And if you're listening to us on the radio, we are on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok. So again, check it out and check it out. I have the link up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there are lots of other issues that are going on. Here in Minnesota, we have a vital state hospital, HCMC, Hennepin County Medical Center, that is experiencing some really major financial deficits because of funding that have been withdrawn from the federal government and then the complicated Medicaid, Medicare processes. So we're working on ways to find dollars to support the hospital. And this isn't just an urban hospital. I mean, when there are serious cases, when there's serious burns or a terrible accident and somebody has multiple injuries, life-threatening injuries, things like that, they're all airlifted down here to HCMC. Mm-hmm. And it's an important hospital because it's a learning, it's a teaching mm-hmm. hospital. And if we don't have the funding to not only support our doctors and the medical teams, but we also want to make sure that we are bringing these talented medical professionals into our communities and getting them prepared in the best way possible. So that's a really big one.
Yes.
That we have to address. Trying to think of some other things. There's a garbage burner in Hennepin County too. That we're also trying to figure that out. Just a lot of other important bills that are brewing, and you know, folks can turn on PBS during the day, and they often have us on the floor mm-hmm. talking, lots of stuff.
And it's streamed too on YouTube.
Yep.
I do believe, yes. Yep. Thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish, for coming in with the updates, and thank you for bringing your grandchildren aboard. This has just been really beautiful and
wonderful.
And again, a big Pinigigi, thank you so much for all you do.
You bet. Tokcha, everybody. Wopulutanka.
Oh, up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah.
Programming on KFAI is supported by Quit Partner. Quitting smoking or vaping is easier said than done. Quit Partner offers Minnesotans no-cost resources to quit nicotine, including patches, gum and lozenges, coaching, and digital support. More at quitpartnermn.com.
Yeah. is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we are with our friend, and we're honored to have Rihanna Yazian. She's a dynamic storyteller, playwright, and director of this play, and also founder and CEO of New Native Theater. And if you have, you know, one of the things, too, I want to say before I forget, Rihanna, because I, you know, I got some timers coming on. I'm getting up there in years. We're going to have a ticket giveaway here, two of them real quick. And so I just want everyone to get their cell phones out and ready to go here. But Rihanna Yazi, we have the playwright here, and I want you to introduce her. And thank you. Thank you so much. Now, remember, you're pointing. I know this is a radio show, too. We get a lot of people watching us on social media, but you got to remember, you have to talk. Welcome.
Hello, hello. And I was pointing with my lips. No.
Oh,
hi, Robert. Thanks for having us on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I am here with Kira, our playwright, the playwright of The Bird Blind. And it is the spring play for New Native Theater's 16th anniversary season.
That's exciting. Thank you. And, you know, I want to just say a couple things. It starts April 22nd to May 10th, and it's at the 825 Arts in St. Paul. And I love that theater. I love hanging out there. And it sounds like it's been your home the last few plays.
Yeah, our whole season has been over at 825 Arts this year. Yeah, it's been a really lovely place. We really enjoy being there.
So let's talk about the play, and welcome. You can jump in anytime, you know, and
okay.
Don't be shy. So welcome, and welcome to Native Roots Radio. Have you been to the cities before?
I have not. Hi, it's nice to meet you. I have never been here before. It's lovely. I love the weather right now, too.
Yeah, it's supposed to get warmer. Let's talk a little bit about the play. What is it about? And, you know, it's got some great artwork here. You know, I'm looking at this. And let's talk about The Bird Blind.
Yes. So The Bird Blind is a beautiful story that takes place in Unalakleet, Alaska, which is an Inupiaq village. And that's where you're from, right, Kira?
Yep.
And so the story is about a young boy whose parents are splitting up, and he ends up making friends with this sort of ne'er-do-well hunter named Spruce. And he ends up forming this really lovely friendship. And Spruce, he finally finds a meaning in life because he understands what it means to be a parent and a guardian, while at the same time, the little boy's mother is learning to understand what it is to be in a healthy relationship, and the little boy's father is learning what it means and what it takes to be a Native man and a father and the sacrifices that you have to make. And ultimately, the whole story is about this village coming together to take care of this next generation. And it's just a really beautiful, unflinching, unapologetic Native story. It's fantastic. So I have to rave about it.
And you're directing Rihanna too, getting really into it, involved. That's exciting. Let's talk about some of the actors too, because there are some interesting names that have been around a while.
Yeah, yeah. So the cast, the current cast is made of, we've got Mato Waiuhi. So he is a singer-songwriter turned actor. He's also a regular on The Lowdown. We also have Susanna Loudness, who is an Inupiaq actor based in New York. We also have Nathaniel Two Bears. And we also have Frank Katass. And Frank is Clinkett, and he's also a playwright and an actor. So And of course, our last actor is plays the 11 and a half year old Tim. And this young actor's name is River Lane. And so this is her very first time being on stage.
That's awesome. And on the postcard, it doesn't have Nathaniel's name on there. So I got to give a quick shout out to Ho-Chunk Nation and all the great actors from Ho-Chunk Nation, like myself. So the writing I have here, well, let's do this right now. Whoever is interested, I'm going to give away two tickets for Thursday, the 23rd, the Bird Blind at Arts 825 in St. Paul, 825 University Avenue. Let's try the third caller here, and then Patrick, just jump in when somebody we get the third caller. So hopefully there's more than three people listening to the show.
Well, then all three get to come see it. That's all right.
That's right. That's right. Good one. Yeah. Good one. So I guess, you know, the writing I have is a generational clash, addiction simmer, and the tundra bears silent witness, a young boy and a trouble hunter expand the meaning of kinship in a makeshift bird blind. So that's a lot of things happening in bird blinds, you know, and, you know, I remember, hunting and being very sleepy, and the ducks flew over our heads, and I couldn't find my gun, and that was it for the day. But very sleepy. But a lot of good things happen, and a lot of speaking and talking. And so, what inspired you to write this this play?
Just growing up in Unalakleet. You know, this is kind of just based off of my life growing up there. And I wanted to write something for people there, you know, for Native people in general, but especially for my community. I love my village. I love my family and friends there. And living in rural Alaska, you know, there's no movie theaters. There's no malls or nothing like that. So what you do for fun is you go hunting, you go fishing, you go gathering berries and get outside and stuff. And so I know that that's something that everybody relates to, is hunting in rural Alaska. And I hope that other people can relate, like you relate to bird hunting. And
definitely. Hey, I'm new at this job. The show has only been on 10 years. I got to give the phone number, 952, smoke signals don't work, 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. Caller number three, we'll get two tickets, and then we'll do that again next segment. This is exciting.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for getting the word out, Robert. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always good. And it's always, you know, your plays, New Native Theater, I'm always super, super impressed. And I have to go more than once because I love the theater. You know, Wendy and I used to have season tickets to our Orpheum. And so it's great to come. And what we try to do when we're in New York, too, and we're in New York a lot, is not just go to the Broadway plays, but go to the off-Broadway plays where people are really plugging away at it and doing it because they love it. And you know, and that's the way I feel with New Native Theater too. People are really invested and love it, and you got a lot of people supporting you, like you heard Dr. Stately.
Mm-hmm. You know, the theater company, it is, you know, it's going strong. It'll be our 17th season next year, and you know, we've found that we've grown into the largest Native theater company in the country. And, you know, we're really proud of the work that we're doing. Theaters our size, we have three full-time staff members who all have living wages, which is often unheard of in the theater field, unless it's a much larger regional theater house. And we are totally curated and by Native folks. You know, we're a sovereign Native theater that nobody is choosing our season for us or advising us that, oh, you need to choose plays where the broader community, it explains to them or educates them, or even maybe like dumbs down Native content for them. That's just not who we are. We just unapologetically produce plays that really is about the Native experience. And honestly, we find that because we do that really specifically, that the plays are actually way more universal, mm-hmm. Ultimately. And I can say that we've never had a non-Native person come to any of our plays over 17 years and say, I didn't get it. It's because the work that we're doing is talking about what it is to be human. You know, we all have the same emotions and ups and downs, ultimately.
Yeah. I start the show out saying Native issues are human issues and human issues mm-hmm. are Native issues. And that rings that we're all, you know, in the circle and we're all one. But, and, you know, in past plays, too, I really enjoy it because it is universal. You know, the stories are mm-hmm. stories. And you know, we're modern. We're not ancient. We're not dinosaurs. We're still here.
Yeah, and it's you know, also as far as like developing brand new plays, that's a big piece of what the field of theater does. And so it's been really fantastic to work with Kira.
It's been fantastic to work with Rihanna and the whole company. They are so empowering and made me feel so welcome, and it's just a great theater company to work with. I'm really lucky to have Rihanna directing.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely. Yeah. Rihanna's got the street cred too, you know.
I know. I just feel real lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say to everybody, come see this play. It's exceptional. It's beautiful. The first time I read it, I was just blown away by the characters. You know, it's like seeing your own family on stage. And it's, you know, it takes place in Alaska, but I also felt like as a Minnesotan, right? I've been here for 20 years now, that it's like, oh, I can feel the cold. I can feel the snow. All of those things make it so specific. And, you know, Kira is, this is her very first play. And she just seriously hit it out of the ballpark. And we just hope that as many people can come see it and that the play continues on, that we're going to have more performances of it, hopefully across the country and especially in Alaska, we're hoping.
Mm-hmm. All right, right on. Hey, let's take a quick break and, you know, pay the bills. Again, 952-946-6205. We've got another giveaway, caller number two, and I just got to give a shout out to Patrick. Thanks for calling in. We have a second set of tickets to give away. Give a call, second caller. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh.
Welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio. Hey, we're talking to Rihanna Yazzie and Kira. We're talking about the Bird Blind, which is being shown April 22nd to May 10th at the 825 Arts in St. Paul. Really, it's always, I always get, I don't know what, nervous when I'm talking to true artists, because I have a heart of an artist. I like crying at like a you know, sad commercials and things like that. So,
got a lot of empathy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. A lot of struggles as a young boy, but now I'm doing better. Hey, so let's talk a little bit more about the play. And one of the things, too, this is your first play. So talk about that a little bit. What made you write a play? Was it a short story in your mind? Was it something based on your life? You know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I went and got, I got my master fine arts degree from Boston Conservatory at Berkeley. And while I was there during the summer semester, the school was like, we need to add like one more class to your curriculum. So we're going to add playwriting. We're like, okay. Yeah. So we started doing this playwriting class. And that's when I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm actually really loving this. This is so cool. And that's when I started writing The Bird Blind. That was back in all the way in 2020. And then I graduated school online, you know, because of what happened that year, the pandemic. And with that, I moved back home to Unalakleet because there was no performing opportunities. And I was like, why would I live in the city when I could live back at home? I could go out in the country, you know, and do all the things that I love. And anyways, I ended up living there for like four years after that. While I was there, I tried to figure like what could I do with my life. So I ran for a city council for a village, and yeah, and they because I wanted to help with the water issues that we were having there in the community, and then they voted me mayor. So I was doing that for a little bit, and then after that I started working for our regional hospital doing prevention work for suicide prevention. Mm. And then they made me the administrative director of behavioral health services up there. So I was doing behavioral health for the region, our region of Alaska. And, you know, like those jobs were very rewarding. I learned so much. I got to travel all over the region. Thankfully, I've always gotten to travel around the region, but I just realized that I was like, man, I enjoy these, but this is not what I want to do. This is not my passion. This is like, I know that there's other people who can do these jobs, but I am like, performing is my passion. Writing, I love. I'm like, I need to get back to that. And so I left my jobs. Then since then I've been, well, this is where I'm at now. I have a play about to be premiered in Minneapolis, and it's been such a wonderful, wonderful experience for me.
That's awesome. Rihanna, I want to ask you a question. How did you find this play?
I was very, very lucky. I helped to start this Native American playwriting development lab in New York with a person named Catherine Kovner, who's the artistic director over at the Playwrights Realm. And I started off with like consulting with them about Native American, working with Native American content and plays and playwrights. And that evolved into creating this lab. And so the second year that we did the lab, Kira had submitted her play. And so this is an opportunity that's open to any emerging Native playwright. And in fact, we're actually taking submissions right now. So if any aspiring Native playwrights out there, check out the Playwrights Realm, and you can submit to the lab this year. So I was on the selection committee 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I read this really amazing play called The Bird Blind, and I just fell in love with the characters and the story. And I feel like as someone who has been in Minnesota winters for 20 years, I could really, it felt very visceral. I could feel like the cold, and I could feel the danger of when certain moments happen in the play. And so then I recommended Kira to take part in the lab, and she ended up being the person, along with another wonderful writer who I can't wait to introduce to you later, And so she was one of two writers that I got to work with and mentor all last year. And then it culminated in New York with a play reading workshop. Actually, a workshop that Isabella LeBlanc also got to be in, who's, of course, you know, one of our wonderful Alum. Native actors from, from here in the Twin Cities. And I just felt like, oh, this play is just so lovely. It would be so good to keep working with Kira on the play. And so I asked her, would you be interested in maybe having one or two more workshops and working with me, continuing to be a dramaturg? And I really would love to direct your play in our next season. And so she was like, yeah. So I was like, of course. And so that's how I met Kira. Yeah. And
interesting.
She's just as lovely in person as you can imagine. And the talent goes with the lovely human that she is. So it's just win-win-win-win.
I have a technical question. So I heard from a great film writer that you need 37 scenes for a movie. How many do you need for a play?
Oh, how many scenes do you have? You have like 5 in the first act and I think 7 in the second act.
So there's really not a number.
Not really.
Okay.
Actually, there's 12 plus 7. So what is that in 19. Writer's math?
19. 19. We all have our strengths. 19. Yeah. So that's generally what you need is 19 scenes for a play, or
it depends. It depends because some plays are one continuous scene.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. And one
really
movie too.
I mean, ultimately what you need are compelling situations that continue to ask, the audience continues to ask, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And that's exactly what Kira's doing in this play. Not only do you need like characters that are really unique, have fantastic dialogue, but then you also really need to keep that tension of the story moving forward. And really your audience is compelled to keep answering that question. What's going to happen next?
Yeah. Wow. Hey, so we only have a minute left. Let's talk about this again. April 22nd to May 10th at 825 Arts in St. Paul. Not Minneapolis, Kira. St. Paul. The Twin Cities. You can say the Twin Cities. But yeah. And so tickets are online. New Native Theater, The Bird Blind. I will definitely try and make it out there opening night. You know, I'm always looking for a seat in the front row. Like to get, you know, close. And we got to do this again, maybe in a couple more days or next week or something, just pump it up, because I think it's so important to support arts and whatever kind, and especially New Native Theater here in the Twin Cities.
Thank you so much, Robert. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Robert. Liana.
Yeah, nice to meet you, and always great to see you, Rihanna Yazzie. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow. Ho-wah.
KFAI invites you to join us for the 23rd annual Balkanicus concert.
Artsy and avant-garde, emotional, upbeat, and irregular. And at the end of it, meet performers and fellow music lovers over a tasty Mediterranean reception. Featuring music from Albanian, Bulgarian, and Serbian composers. All the pieces are American premieres, and as always, Balkanicus will premiere a piece new to the world. Saturday, April 25th at 7 p.m. at Alton Recital Hall on the U of M West Bank campus. Free and open to the public. All are welcome. If you have never experienced this music before, here's your opportunity to join us.
Visit kfai.org/Balkan for more details.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson. Whoop-cha.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm going to make a quick phone call here, Wendy, and you can just say hi to our fans out there.
Hey, everybody. Thanks again for the support. Thank you, Nina, for your thoughts. So sorry to hear your pup is suffering. Just love her. I will just love her. She's not suffering. We wouldn't let her suffer.
No,
we wouldn't. I just wanted to let you know that. But yes.
Hey, we have our friend Gina Peltier on. Gina, welcome to Native Roots Radio. As always, I know you were at the Capitol all day. Can you tell us a little bit of what's going on? Welcome.
Yes. Thank you. And sorry to hear the news. It's always hard to hear when you lose a loved one. So, yeah, busy day at the Capitol, y'all. But we did have a beautiful day. Mother Earth really showed up for us. So we started off early in the morning at the Friends of Boundary Waters rally. And that was an amazing turnout. Oh, my goodness. We had all three levels packed. And, of course, we were expecting a huge turnout, especially with the decision that the federal government made last week of rolling back protections for our Boundary Waters. And so the speakers really came on really, really powerful. I was one of the speakers, and I got to remind everyone what happened 10 years ago at Standing Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a lot of brave, unarmed, nonviolent, smart, hardworking, kind people show up to risk their lives and their freedom, you know, trying to protect everyone's water. And what did the government do to us back then? You know, we were met with water cannons and attack dogs, and, you know, people lost, you know, their eyes, their limbs, and even to this day, you know, many people are suffering severe PTSD, yet they're still doing the good work, you know, and if our government did something like that to our neighbors, they most definitely were going to do something to us. And we saw what happened with Line 3. And so, you know, we were very, very upset, and we just wanted to really remind people what it really, really takes to battle something like this. You know, we're trying really, really hard. We're showing up at the Capitol. We're talking mm-hmm. to our leaders, but unfortunately they're not listening to us. Some are listening to us, which is amazing. It really gives us hope for us to have those allies in our leadership, in those leadership positions. But we need more, you know, and that's what I really appreciate about Rise and Repair. You know, Rise and Repair, we followed up after the Friends of Boundary Water with a data center Earth Day rally. In between, we collaborated with Friends of Boundary Water and other amazing organizations, Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, CURE, MCEA. We fed the people, we had jingle dress dancers, and then we went in and advocated to have no data centers.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Rise and Repair Alliance, we really bring people out. And every event we have, I always have youth coming up to me. And most of the time, they are like, I can run for office.
Yes.
I feel like I know more and I can do better. And it's like, yes, please, please, we need you. You know, so it really keeps us, it really helps me do the work, especially mm-hmm. seeing the youth step up like that. And that's one of the reasons we're doing this for, right?
Yes.
And so the data center rally, though, was really, really interesting the way it was held. They held it as like a community hearing. And so we brought people in from all over Minnesota who are either being affected by these data centers or potentially being affected by these data centers.
Mm-hmm.
And we really gave them the floor and the opportunity to have their voices heard. And they brought up so many concerns. We had one resident, I believe it was from Hermantown, who brought up examples of what was going to happen to these communities if these data centers were brought in. They brought examples of the loud humming noise that is constantly around that they hear. And they hear it at their homes and, you know, outside, you know, just in their yards, and the bright flashing lights. And they're already experiencing problems with their water and electricity. So I'm really grateful that we were able to give them space to really have their voices heard, especially, you know, in a space where our leaders are at. And I really want to give a shout out to our legislators who are really with us on this. Because it takes a strong person in their position to actually be the voice for the people. And they really showed up, you know, Jen McEwen, Lish Kozlowski, yes. Alex Falconer, Mary Kunis, like they, oh my goodness, like we wouldn't be able to do this work without them. And to see them really advocating for us, really shows me that we can come together and we can do what needs to be done. So it was a really beautiful day, really tough because, you know, people are angry as we should be.
Yes.
But, you know, we're getting together, we're strategizing and trying to really help our leaders and the rest of the communities realize what's happening here, not just with the data centers, but with the rollbacks of the protections for the boundary waters and the potential mines that are coming in. And and even, you know, Line 5 was brought up and the Majelic One Oak pipeline that they want to put in near Pipestone was brought up. And so it was a really good day with a lot of issues showing that these corporations who don't live here, who don't rely on these sources of life, just want to come in and extract and extort and poison just so they can fatten their pockets.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I also reminded everyone of what happened with Line 3 right here in Minnesota. You know, we had a foreign corporation shove a toxic tar sands oil pipeline through nearly half of North America's freshwater right here in Minnesota just to sell all of that, most of that oil to a foreign country.
Right.
You know, and what did we get out of it? We got punctured aquifers. Yep. We got frack outs. Right now it's devastating news because it looks like there's more lakes and rivers that are being added to the list that you have to watch out and caution of even swimming in.
Right.
You know, it's devastating that we can't even swim in our lakes and rivers anymore without having to go home and take a shower. Otherwise we'll get like swimmer's itch or something like that.
Right.
You know, even back when I was a child, you can just go dip in the water and clean yourself up and and not have to worry about showering for a couple of days. That's how we cleaned ourselves. And now, yeah, you don't even want to think about putting your foot in there. And so it's really, really scary to see the damage that's being done right in front of our eyes. And we still have leaders and community members who don't think that there's anything wrong. There's nothing happening. And we really, I'm really grateful that a lot of the speakers, most of the speakers were straight up like these corporations.
Yes.
They don't care about us.
No.
And, you know, whose economy are we fighting for right now? You know, we have nearly half of full-time working Americans unable to afford a one-bedroom apartment.
Exactly.
You know, our people are suffering, you know, and it's just, it's really unfair and devastating, you know, what our leaders are doing, not just in the federal government, but also in the state government.
Gina, what a great, great report. Wendy, wow,
yeah,
amazing.
Unbelievable. Thank you so much. And keep up the good fight, Gina. You know, don't give up.
Yeah, Gina, one thing too, happy Earth Day. And did you see the Supreme Court rules for Michigan on the fight to shut down Enbridge? So that happened today. Yeah. We got one good thing going on.
Yes. Oh, that was amazing news. We were just celebrating it here in our vehicle. We're on our way back home. We all carpooled up here. It's Earth Day.
Yeah, definitely. It's Earth Day. Well, Gina, amazing report. Do you have anything else? I mean, geez, you touched on so many great things. And I just want to say, you know, you've been in this fight for over 10 years. We started the show 10 years when Standing Rock had started and all the lack of information that was coming out or no information. And, geez, I just really appreciate all the information that you gave our listeners just now.
Yeah, and that's just how it is. You know, you got to speak even if your voice trembles. You got to let people know what's happening. And not just that, give them the information and show them how we can work through this, you know, how we can rebuild our nation to where we can have a system that works for everyone. Once we put the solutions in their hands, it makes it easier for them to move forward and really get on our side towards an environment that we can all thrive on. Because right now it's all going downhill. You know, that's one of the reasons I do it for. I do it for our youth. But that's also given me hope because they're really stepping up. They really are. So shout out to the youth. Yeah. We're doing this for you. Hopefully we'll make it easier for you and you'll have clean water in your future.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, again, Gina, I really, really appreciate this report. I know you're heading up north. Pinigi again for listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Halusa Nation. We have been called the Indians. We have been called Native American. We have been called hostile. We have been called pagan. We have been called militant. We have been called many names. We are the Halusa Nation. We are the human beings.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.